All you need to do is be under 27 years, have a PhD, and currently be earning ₦500,000 a month in Nigeria. And you can come and work for us. Say, may God punish, that brown man, what is his name? No, the brown man. Gordon Brown. Tony Blair before him. And everybody who conspired to develop that visa scheme. How else on earth will you help to keep some people under? That is the only way. You open your doors to the best of their brains. But anyway, you see, God uses them for his own purposes. God, he said, God should punish them. Yes, he punished the Babylonians for plundering Israel beyond measure. You know what God told Babylon? He said, I'm going to finish all of you. He said, why? Because I sent you against my people. You didn't even show small mercy. Small mercy like this. The Bible said that, talking about Nebuchadnezzar, he said, he did not do that of righteousness. Even though I was the one that sent him, he was a weapon of my wrath. He said, yeah, he doesn't do that of righteousness. You know what that means? It means that he's not doing it because he's obeying me. He's using wickedness to do it. I am just taking advantage of his wickedness. So, let's leave the people who are doing wickedly. It is those of us who buy it, that's my problem. He said, Issachar is like a strong donkey. Lying down between the sheepfolds. He said, when he saw that the resting place was pleasant, was good, and that the land was pleasant, he bowed his shoulder to bear burdens and became a slave at forced labor. Anybody who jumps to places because of comfort, that's what they all, listen, there are different kinds of slaves. Even those days when they were slaves, they were, in America and Europe, all right, and those Caribbean islands. There were slaves that worked in the house, and they felt superior to the slaves outside, but they were slaves. You don't know that? There are different kinds of slaves. There were slaves that worked indoors, and they felt, in fact, read the book Against the Odds by John Johnson. Said one day he went to go, and a white family invited his family for dinner. And when he sat down at table, food did not flow. You know why food did not flow? Because their black maid said she couldn't serve a black man. You didn't hear what I said? A black maid, a womb, a hired servant, hired to cook and to serve in the house of a white rich man, saw a black rich man who was a guest in the house of the white man, apparently the first black guest this man is having over, and they said, come and serve. He said, I cannot serve a black man. Did you hear what I said? The white man fired her on the spot. There and then, say thank you very much. You serve my guest. I don't care what their color, the color of their skin is. Fire the woman there. Look, they had them abroad. Slaves who worked in the homes, who felt superior to the slaves outside. But they were still what? Slaves. A lot of people would do, but be careful. You know what they are? Slaves. Let me not start giving names of people that you know. They can earn $100 million. They are what? Slaves. Some of them are jesters. You know what I mean? Go and make the white man laugh. They are what? Slaves. So that's what happens to Issachar. He always becomes a slave. And one of the ways you know a man who is a slave is that he can't pass an inheritance to his children. Because the master can take his sons and sell them at will. Listen, when Jacob was leaving the house of Laban, you know what he said to Laban? I want to go and provide, listen, an inheritance for my own family. Laban said, don't worry. Why are you going away? Listen, because the first 7 years, Jacob worked as a slave because the wife was pleasant. The second 7 years, he worked as a slave because he didn't get the pleasant wife, so he worked extra to not get the proper wife. The next 6 years, when he wanted to leave, Laban said, where are you going? Here you have food. You have everything. Why are you bothering to go? And the man said, I have to provide for my own household. So the man said, okay, appoint me your wages. They now discussed money. After a while, Jacob said, I have to go. Why? I have an inheritance. I hope you are getting my point. Men who can give to their offspring and pass wealth and influence and great things to their descendants, all right? Sometimes they actually live where it is comfortable to go and start struggling again. I don't know how you're getting arrested. The devil is not a goat. He has sense. Why temptations are called temptations is because they are tempting. If they are not tempting, they would not have been called temptations. That is, listen, if every time you want to step out of something else, it's always easy. You're not following the will of God. You are not. If it's always easy, you're not moving from one place to the other. You are not following the will of God. You are not. Because God knows any clown, any joker, any Issachar will do that. And God is not breeding slaves. You know what he's breeding? Free men. Free men. Men who are free to do the will of God in their lives. Free men. What have I explained from reading those scriptures? So we'll talk some more and then we'll close. God can have a good word, a good plan for anybody's life. If the character is not correct, he can't achieve it. I said before, there are two reasons believers work. And it does not include working for money. The two reasons why we work is so, number one, so we can be a blessing to other people. That's not what I want to discuss. But number two, so that while we are interacting with people, are you getting my point? We find out our character flaws. Are you getting me? And then we work on them with the word of God and with prayer. That's why when I wrote in that book, How to Work for God, the first chapter of How to Work for God is on the first work that is inside. I said there's no need working outwardly because see, oh God, these are spiritual laws. No matter how much your inheritance, what I mean is that what God poured into you at the beginning, no matter how great it is, no matter how much it is, what life gave to you to succeed, preeminent in power, preeminent in dignity, if you are as uncontrolled as water, you will not have that preeminence in your life. Every little thing in life, I'm telling you, is a test. This interesting part, many of the tests you fail daily, listen to this, you will not know you failed them until you come to places like this. And we'll discuss and tell you, if this happens, you have failed. You discover that last year, Olodo, I failed everything. The last few months, I've been failing all the tests because I've been making decisions that show that I'm not going to go far in life. I said to you, that's on Tuesday, that John said, if we say we have no sin, we lie and the truth is not in us. If truth enters, it illuminates and shows you where you have not done correctly. If you brag like Job, that I've always done rightly, what it means is that you're walking in darkness. So the amount of light you have illuminates the little space around you and you think you have occupied all the space. But when the light of God shines further, which was what God did through Elihu and in dreams and in visions for Job, you suddenly realize the places, the character flaws that you have not yet overcome. And then you repent in dust and in ashes. And you say to God, before I heard of you with the hearing of my ears, now I'm getting a better perspective of you. Listen, very important. The degree to which your life experiences the destiny that God plotted for you, all right, is determined by the degree to which your character is rearranged to becoming exactly like that of Christ Jesus. Listen to me, it's not determined by how much you pray. Listen to this, it is not determined by how much you give. I said to you last time, you can see a preacher sweating like I sweat here twice a week. Eh? Don't let that one fool you to think that God will reward me plenty. Because the reason why I'm sweating, you don't know. You can't see that one. You can't see it inside my heart. It's covered by my physical heart. Then all the flesh and bones around it. Then the three layers of clothes I have on top of it. You can't see it. I'm the only one that knows what is driving me. But as I go around, God opens my heart. This is why you are shouting.
You want to be popular. This is why you are shouting. You want the whole world to know you. They think you are shouting because, look, and no matter the reason why you are shouting, when you start shouting, if you are anointed to shout, the shout will bless people. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. So that's why you look at it and say, this man is so heavily anointed. How come he did not go far in life? God said, the character I'm looking for, he didn't have it. Anytime you see him in a small, enclosed, you know, life, not going beyond the level year after year, God said, it's not because he's not anointed. I called him, I anointed him. But the character I determined that I require for him to get to the place where I want him to get to, he has not developed it. I said something to us last time on Tuesday when we were preaching about 100-fold blessing. I said, that's the number one job that prayer is for. Prayer is not against enemies. All my enemies, some are salt and scatter. Don't let me say things, all right? Let me just leave some things alone. One day, one of my friends looked at one church and said, man, these guys are doing wonderful. The church is growing. I said, if you lie to people the way they lie, you too, you will grow. People are looking for who to deceive them. Tell them it's not their problem. You're not the ones that are at fault. Use all your prayers against enemies and every form of witches are not even aware. You don't know to kill people is expensive. You don't have anything. Why should somebody kill you? You think the devil is an idiot? He knows you're not going to go far in life. The lie you tell, the lies you tell, the devil knows you won't go far. Why should they kill you? So that he'll kill you now, God will be forced to replace you. And as long as you are there, God may not replace you for a while. So the devil enjoys it. Just be there occupying God's space with all your bad character. The church will not go far. What am I saying? Forget the enemies. You don't need the prayer chasing them up and down. Are you getting my point? What do we use our prayers for? We first turn our prayers where? Inside. We first turn our prayers inside. Are you getting my point? That's why I'm talking about character for destiny. I chose those four people. And I said something, that Jacob was not just sitting down and trying to get inspiration. I'm not saying he was not inspired. Possibly he was. But whether he was inspired or not is the same thing he would have arrived at. Because for years of understanding the dealings of God, he looked at his sons. And I'm going to say something after this. That's why you'll find out that people can come from a particular lineage. But what they experience as descendants of that lineage does not tally with what was prophesied about that lineage. Are you getting my point? You can have a son of Reuben becoming preeminent in power. You say, Pastor Ben, what are you talking about? That the curse is not working, it's working. But except you connect with the curse of your father through your actions, it can never alight upon you. If a man is born, listen to me, of Reuben, and Satan knows, look, listen, I told you, the devil is a tempter. If your father is a cheat, a crook, now follow what I'm saying, no? All right? And a selfish person. The demons of selfishness, thievery, and crookedness will hang around your home. And you will grow up under the extreme influence of tempting devils to push you into these evils. The psychologists will give all kinds of names to it. But the point is that there are spiritual activities which the father opens the doors for. And he entered into that home. And the children started growing under it. So if your father is a mafia don, you will shoot people. I don't know whether I get my point. You will shoot people. You will shoot people. It will be your normal way of setting scores. So that man he showed me a lot of disrespect. So we're going to teach him a lesson. And you're in secondary school. Yeah, because your father is a killer. But like I discussed in that book, choice is key to destiny. What God now does that one day he will open a door for you. He will show you the other way by which men can walk, by which men can compete, by which men can deal with other people. And the Holy Spirit will speak to you. He will let you know that this is the path of life. This is what I'm saying. If we are able to resist the temptations that brought a particular character trait into the lives of our ancestors, are you getting what I'm saying?
And therefore, we don't walk in their footsteps. The curses that they downloaded by their activities cannot come upon us. That's why I always say, once you believe in Christ Jesus, and you detach yourself from your natural lineage, and you attach yourself fully with the word, to the word of God, and that word, listen, that word begins to develop the trait, the Christ-like nature, all right, the spirit of Christ in you, the seed of which was put into you at the new birth. Listen to me, your life can never be average. I don't care where you came out of. I don't care who your father is, who your grandfather is, who your ancestors are, which village you came out of. It makes no difference. Once you attach yourself to the word of God, and this is what I'm preaching today, you allow that word to really release the trait of Christ that the seed was put into you at the new birth. You allow that word to really release it. Listen to me. You will enter into divine destiny. Why am I preaching this one I'm preaching today? I don't want Christians to get the impression that you prophesy your way into prosperity. That you just give your way into prosperity. You just quote two scriptures and hold on to it into prosperity. No, it doesn't work like that. Those are the preeminent matters that we are born with. But there's an eternal principle that if we don't let those words build up a character in us, we can never get the thing that God wants us to get. Am I clear? Am I clear? I picked those few people. There are many other things written in that scripture. When I studied it, I realized that, look, most of the other people, Jacob didn't say much about them. The reason is because, the reason is because they did not do anything to work against the plan that God had for their positions in that family. I hope you're getting my point. Let me say this again. The fact that God has promised something, all right, is not all there is to our receiving them in fulfillment. I preached a message some time ago, which I called Poor Jonah, in which I talked about activating the prophecies by prayer. There was something I explained there, all right? If you can, listen to that message also. It will also add to what I have said. But the point I made very crucial in that message is the fact that God can say something and it does not come to pass. It doesn't mean he's a liar. It only means that we have limited the Holy One of Israel. In that book of Jonah, it was the negative side or the opposite side that worked. God prophesied destruction by the mouth of Jonah, yet there was no destruction. The people did not experience any destruction. And what was the reason? Because the people did certain things that limited the hand of God when it came to punishing them. But the opposite is also true. There are times that God prophesies good about people. Listen, let me just say it like this. Believers, we must be known for our purity in character. Are you getting my point? Listen, I looked at Jacob. I read stories about his life. I read the Bible and I read analysis of his life. I like the way Oswald Chambers said it. Oswald Chambers said, all the problems that Jacob had in life, were they necessary for him to inherit the promise that God had upon his life? He said, no. Listen to this, that the promise is not tied to the suffering, but that in the life of Jacob, are you getting my point? The suffering is necessary for the fulfillment of the promise in the life of Jacob. Why? Because the character of Jacob had to be beaten and fought. And God said, I will not leave you alone until I have done everything that I plan to do for you. What it means is this. I won't leave you alone. That means I must always bless you. No. If you do what is wrong, I won't stop beating you until you convert yourself. If you know what I'm saying, say, until you repent. If you think you are sharp, I will deal with you in such a manner that you will discover that sharpness. You know, like by sharpness. Sharp, now Nigerian sharp. All right? For example, you know how to be crafty and deceive people, deceive your father. Let me tell you something. I told you before, be careful about testimonies. Is that okay? It was forbidden that Jacob should go and prophesy. Go and testify. When he comes to church, praise the Lord. The Bible says the violent take it by force.
When I heard that there was an inheritance that I was supposed to receive, and my brother, it looked like he was going to get it. Therefore, I and my mother connived. And we deceived my father. And then I got the inheritance. Brethren, if it is yours, whatever it will take it all. Are you getting my point? If you speak like that, this is the interesting part. Because of the prophesying of Jacob, all right, of Isaac, Jacob got the inheritance. Amen? But Jacob still suffered for the way he got it. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Rebecca still suffered for the way Jacob got it. That's God. You go the wrong way and you fulfill his purpose, you still suffer for going the wrong way. That's why I tell preachers, if I say I want to lie to you and use all kinds of urukuruku to collect money so I can preach the gospel, I will use that money to preach God, it will be preached, but I will still be punished for lying to you. Please, what I'm saying, I hope it's clear to you. That's how God works. He checks the methods before he chooses the personal reward that you will get. People may come and testify that the work is still going forward. Yes, because the overall work is in line with the plan of God. But the individual reward is calculated according to the purity of heart with which they did what they were doing. If you use lying methods to get the inheritance like Jacob did, you will go to the house of Laban for 7 years labor for nothing. It is God saying, I won't leave you alone until I finish with you. By the time Jacob came back from Laban's house, he learned how not to deceive people. 7 years he walked, he didn't get anything. They gave him a girl he did not want. I wonder how he managed. So Leah knew that I am not loved. Even God knew Leah was not loved. Everybody understood that Leah was not loved. I wish it was these days. The man would just go to court and request the annulment of the marriage. But it couldn't work like that those days. Are you getting my point? The man had to work another 7 years to get the wife he wanted. After I started working to get, look, listen to me. That is the reward for one, his character, which manifested in how he got the inheritance. Now listen to me. God is not happy with Esau. What I mean is that God won't say, because I'll give to Esau, because Esau didn't deserve it. But how Jacob got it is still not right. So God worked with Jacob until Jacob was humble. Listen to me, I told you, there are two ways to work with God. You can come for Bible study or buy a book and do other things and listen to the word of God and pray. And God will convert you through the operations of the Spirit, working with the word. Are you getting my point? Or you can wait for suffering to teach you a lesson. Whichever way you will learn. Do you hear what I said? Whichever way you will learn. When Pharaoh asked Jacob, how old are you? Jacob looked and said, my 130 years have been 130 years of sorrow. That yes, I have lived long. I have not even lived as long as my father. But my own days has been one calamity after another. One day I even met God on the road. He injured me. Why? Because all I asked was that he should bless me before he goes. Gave me a kick, threw my hip out of order. Even my sons conspired against me to take away the son that I loved the most. Listen to me. Oswald Chambers said, was that necessary for the inheritance? He said, no, it wasn't. Except that for Jacob, it was. That is, if Jacob had not been like the Jacob that Jacob was, you would not have had that story to read, though. That's why I'm always guarded in my testimonies. There are things God does for me, and he did them because of my stubbornness, not because of my righteousness. When I'm praying, sometimes I ask God in one corner, my wife no good did. I say, God, I hope what I'm saying, I hope my requests are okay. I hope my motive is right, because I can't just go and say, hey, after I declared, I said, God, this year you must do this thing. And God did it. And you are shouting, amen. I told you, if Solomon had asked God for money, God would have given him money. You know that. Would he not have given him money? So let's not shout too much about testimonies. I'm always guarded. So I began to declare. I declared and declared. I said, no, I will not change my mind. There are things God gave them commandment to divorce the wives of their youth because of stubbornness. Who told you he has stopped? But this is the interesting part. God gave it to you, and it was not what he wanted you to have in perfect order. You will suffer the consequences. The Bible said they lusted after meat. God gave them meat to satisfy their lust. But then, what happened? He sent leanness to their souls. Listen, I told you, this is my own estimate. I have, you know, before I gave an estimate, 85% of Christian work is nonsense work. 85% that I've looked around. And that's a conservative estimate. I have another estimate for you. 90% of Christian prayers, God is angry. Brethren, tonight, we are going to tell God. And God will look and say, Gabriel, they have come again. After too much harassment, God will say, Gabriel, give that pastor 2 cars to, you know, give the congregation 2 cars so that the pastor will have story to tell next time he goes to preach. I was somewhere last week. By the time I finished this ministration, 5 cars were released. Gabriel, leave. They will grow. No, God will just be looking and say, hey, these people. The things that are important, they won't focus on it. Say, half of them are Jagudas. They have not focused on that. You know what they call Jaguda? You know what they call Jaguda? And when Yoruba man say Jaguda, it's another word for thief. Rogue. Say, lying is their culture. They lie to one another. There was one pastor I heard of. The church he used to, he was a pastor in that church. He was under torment. Do you know why? Because his big pastor used to preach prosperity. And he had to live the life of prosperity to show that the world is working. So his car, the engine will be bad. He won't talk the engine. He will spray the body. So as he's driving, he will see this thing shining. Say, praise God, the God of Abundance. The God of Abundance. The truth is that the engine of the car. He said, when he leaves home like this, he's going to church. The level of agbada he used to wear, the kind of material, the landlord go, they look him. That this boy don't begin thief. Because his rent is not up to date. Look at the cloth he's wearing. This man himself, he's now based in Enugu here. I'm telling you the true story. Say, he has repented. That is the kind of repentance he has repented now. He doesn't follow those things again. He testified with his own mouth that they were just living a lie. Showing prosperity. The agbada he has not paid for it, but he has to buy it. Because the pastor is prospering, he's prospering, everybody is prospering, supposedly prospering. Then one day God gathered and scattered the whole thing. God scattered it in a very sad way. But he was delivered. Now he has repented. He has thrown away all those cloaks of prosperity. Now any prosperity you see on him is real. Now, any prosperity you see on that bros is real. If you see him wear a shirt, it's his shirt. He can afford it. Now, he's still working in kind of ministry work, and he's really blessing himself and blessing a lot of people. But he has stopped living the lie. Are you getting my point? Listen, let's not rush into this quick gain thing. It's not necessary. I see people that God has something great predetermined concerning their lives. The other day I sent a brother a text. He sent me a text about something and I replied him. I said, Mike, why are you saying this? But in my heart, I felt so strong. So I sent him a text. I said, one day, you will be president. It's a young man. He did something, he just sent me a text. As I wanted to reply, he said, hey, God bless you. No, in my heart, I said, no, tell this young man one day he's going to be president. That's the kind of thought that God has towards you. But listen to me. He can think it from now till tomorrow. You can discover it from now till tomorrow. If God says to you, one day you'll be president, and you don't stop stealing, you will die, you will not be president. And somebody will say, God lied. God said, me, I don't lie.
Paul warned him that now that I have told him he will be president, he should understand that there must be nothing wrong that anybody can trace to his character. What he should go and do is sit down and pray. Please come on Tuesday, you see what we are talking about, hundredfold blessing. That's what we are discussing. That there's what God wants you to do about your character, about your person. Because there's 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. The difference between those different folds, all right, is the kind of heart that received the word. But this is the good side about it. There's conversion possible for any kind of heart. And that is what prayer is used for. Have you learned anything today?